Welcome to the Delaware Football Roundup by WVUD. I'm Brandon Havak with Mike Baumel, the WDSD on-site producer and WVUD sports contributor, here to break down Delaware's 18-17 upset loss at Towson. It was a game in which Delaware led 14-3 with about three quarters of the third quarter remaining. We had fall 18-17. And Delaware, the final drive, 35 seconds left, three timeouts, were unable to come back and take the win. The Blue Hens fall to 5-3 on the season and 3-2 in the CAA.
This was just an overall game that Delaware did not show up to play. It was a trap game for them, and they fell right into that trap. It was a game that they should have been able to win easily, should have put this game out of control by halftime, let Towson stick around, and then Towson made them pay in the end. Towson got hot, as you said, towards the end of the third quarter, and in the fourth quarter, everything was going right for them, nothing going right for the Blue Hens. And when you let teams stick around like that, when you're supposed to beat them, it never ends up well, usually.
We talked a lot leading up to this game about it being a quote-unquote trap game, that Delaware coming off of that high emotional win against Richmond, going on the road against a team that you expect to beat, the team that hadn't had a win in the CAA until yesterday. But it seemed like Delaware recognized that, and they talked about this being a trap game and needing to have the same or more preparation leading into it. How did they fall into that trap? Where did it go wrong?
When you pass for 35 yards as a team, and yes, one of them was a -8 screen pass from Joe Walker.
Beautiful play, by the way.
When your starting quarterback throws for 43 yards in total, you can't expect to win. Even if you have 200-plus yards on the ground, they had 229 yards on the ground, but you can't expect to win if your quarterback can't even throw the ball for a completion more than 17 yards. One of Towson's touchdowns was 39 yards, and you only got 35 yards in the air in total. I mean, that stat to me is mind-boggling because the defense put the offense in great situations. The defense caused turnovers. The special teams pinned Towson deep to give easier field positioning when Delaware defense made the stop. Nick Pritchard punted it beautifully out of bounds at the one-yard line. We had a Colby Reeder fumble recovery at the 17-yard line of Towson. What do we get from that? A field goal. Like, you have to be able to convert those opportunities, and whether it's passing or running, you need to find what you can do in those situations. They tried going to Jarman. Jarman had no receptions. They tried doing the jet sweep with him. He drew half the defense with him, but they still handed it off to him, and half the players on the other side where he was coming from were wide open.
Are we back to the Delaware teams that the identity of Delaware teams that we've seen in the past where the running game is prolific? You had a great game from Kenai Kane that you mentioned, over 100 yards for the second straight week, but that the passing game is just not there? Because last week we talked a lot about how JP Caruso showed this it factor, and maybe he's going to do enough to let the team win, and that he's going to convert on those opportunities. And that was definitely not the case against an inferior Towson team yesterday. So is the Delaware team back to that level, or are they still more like what they showed against Richmond?
I mean, first of all, it did not help JP Caruso that Cherry got injured pretty early in the game, and then after that, no more receptions. But JP Caruso missed some easy targets, and then when he hit the target exactly where it should be, the wide receivers or the tight ends were missing it. There was one ball that JP placed that was beautiful. And I don't remember.
Was it Scarf, the end zone one?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that was a beautiful pass. It hits the dude in the shoulders. You
got it. Hits him right in his hands, right in the shoulders. That's a pass you need to have.
You have to catch that.
Especially if you're a tight end, you're supposed to be those sure hands.
That was on the opportunity after the Reeder fumble, right, from the 17-yard line. You got to get that. Third down, toss to the end zone, right there.
Floated it right in.
That could have finished the game.
Floated it right in, and then Towson did the same thing, and the wide receiver caught it. And
one-handed.
And that was the game-winning touchdown eventually.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, we knew that this offense was always going to be a run-first offense. I mean, Kenai Kane and Kareem Williams, Kenai with 118 yards, Kareem with 81 yards, both above 5 yards average per run. You know, and Thomas Jefferson still is not in the mix. If Thomas Jefferson's in this mix, this run game is going to be what we have seen for the past couple years. But the pass game, it still is very inconsistent. They still need to find those ways to work Joe Walker in. We saw him in one play where J.P. Caruso was split out to the wide side, and he threw it a screen pass to Kareem Williams, and it lost 8 yards. They have to find some other ways. I wouldn't be surprised if they start putting Joe Walker as a wide receiver having him come out of the backfield.
That's something that I kind of brought up yesterday as watching this game, because at the quarterback position, you know, theoretically, he should be able to run the full offense, but then he's not really a different threat. He's the guy that you had starting games for the first, five times this season. Can you utilize that athleticism somewhere else? Because right now, aside from the running back position, they don't really have playmakers. I'll maybe caveat that with Jamie Jarman, who had the huge game against Richmond, where he's running for over 100 yards. He caught a touchdown for 5 straight games. You have to give him credit for that. But aside from Jarman, aside from Kenai Kane, this team doesn't have guys who make plays, and they don't have that guy on a tough 3rd and 5 that they can go to reliably. And not to say that Towson did, but somehow, some way, they found a way to get it done. They had a backup quarterback playing in this game. They've had injuries all over the place. One of their offensive linemen went out. Their top running back, their top skill guy, Shane Simpson, is not 100%. And they found ways to move the football on Delaware's defense, which is better than Towson. At some point, you need to find ways to move the football, and maybe part of that is finding different ways to utilize Joe Walker's athleticism, because right now the other guys who might be athletic, might be just as athletic as him, aren't making those plays as receivers. As running backs, they definitely are, but especially in the receiving core, they don't have that guy to go to that you can really rely on.
And something that's interesting about this Towson team is they are beat up too. They have a lot of injuries, as you just said. 21 players on this Towson team have a reception this year. I mean, that's mind-boggling. One of the guys that had the biggest game yesterday, John Simmons, we didn't even expect he was going to play. And he had the 39-yard touchdown pass that at the time gave Towson the momentum to keep going, and that's huge. To have someone come off your bench like that, that you don't even think is a good player, really, and then he just helps your team by having 5 receptions, almost as many receptions as the whole Delaware team has. And that's what you need to see.
Delaware have 7?
Yeah. You need to see this Delaware team have these playmakers come off the bench. Now Jarman, everybody's going to be all over Jamie Jarman. Whenever he's in motion.
They've seen that jet sweep now. They've seen it work.
And they need to... It seemed like yesterday was either a good drive or a bust drive for Delaware. Their average third down distance to go is 7.5 yards. And with this offense, you're never going to be successful if you have to go that far, because you're a run-first offense. If you get that down to 4, that's much more manageable.
That's
because
a really
good
then point.
You don't have to have the pressure of throwing it or have J.P. Caruso scramble and have to run for it. If you have 4 yards to go, that's an easy run for, say, Kenai Kane, who can carry a guy 5 yards.
Let's talk a little bit about Kenai Kane. Maybe he's a bright spot to come out of this game. 118 rushing yards, as you mentioned. Is there an opportunity to get him the ball even more? It's been a running back by committee. We've seen Kareem Williams in and out of the lineup last week. He wasn't really a factor. He's back into the mix this week. Thomas Jefferson's clearly still dealing with that rib injury, so he hasn't really been a factor. And Corey Sproul, the true freshman, we've seen him a little bit, but he hasn't been, he's not a guy you're probably going to rely on. Is there an opportunity to just feed Kenai Kane even more? Because the last couple weeks, nobody's been able to stop this guy.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, he is strong and just runs downhill with force. I mean, he had 22 rushing attempts, which is a good amount. I think in a good world, you would want to give him more carries, but when you need to get a certain amount of yards, and if the other people aren't doing it, or if you have so many passes that people aren't catching or that aren't being thrown productively, then you can't give him those, because you have to throw it or you have to try something to trick the defense. And that's something that I think that they wanted to feed him the ball more. I'd be very interested to see, and I don't think we've seen this out of Delaware this year, J.P. Caruso is a very good runner. He had one mistake running the ball yesterday, which is when he tripped up after he had about 20 yards.
He had room to run.
Tripped over his own feet, the turf, whatever you want to say. No one touched him.
They showed the replay, and somebody touched him, but then he was still on his feet, and then he stubs his toe in the turf and falls face first in the middle of that 2 minute or 35 second drill where they have three timeouts but just 35 seconds to try to score a field goal to win the game.
I would be interested to see if Delaware will start throwing the option in their offensive game because they do have a strong runner like J.P. Caruso. And then if you have Kenai Kane, or if you even put Kareem Williams in that mix, do a triple option with those three, I think that could be a very productive way for Delaware to move the ball and kind of trick defense.
And you also have Jamie Jarman who could figure into that mix. If you're bringing somebody in motion behind those two guys as the pitch guy, he's shown that he can run with the ball in his hands and make explosive plays. So maybe across the board, we're looking to Danny Rocco to continue to find creative ways to use these guys. We've seen different wrinkles throughout the year, including that jet sweep against Richmond, be successful. But once those plays are out there, you got to probably come up with new plays because they're going to scout those plays and figure out a way to stop you. And Delaware's offense at this point is not good enough to move the ball when the defense knows what's coming. Some teams are, but you know, when your quarterback throws for 43 passing yards, you're not one of those teams.
Yeah, and something else that Delaware needs to do is they need to finish drives. Usually if you get to the 50-yard line, you're like, okay, we're close, especially with Frank Rago, how he's been kicking this year. We just need to get a couple more yards, then we'll be able to kick a field goal. Delaware punted 6 times when the ball was spotted in Towson territory. Delaware's average field position was the 38-yard line. Towson's was their own 23-yard line. And usually, if you look at these stats, Delaware is winning the field position game, but they can't finish the drives. And I think that's part of the reason because of the missed passes and the drop passes.
Defensively, the Blue Hens allow 18 points in this one. They come away with three takeaways, but when it counts most, they allow 2 scoring drives to the Towson Tigers, who, like you said, Mike, they don't have those go-to guys. They have 21 guys who've caught a ball this season. What did you see in the defense?
I didn't see the Reeder brothers at all. I mean, both of them probably had one of their worst games as a athlete in college. Troy Reeder, yes, he did have 8 tackles. He only had 1 solo tackle. And then you're looking at Colby's stat line. He had 2 total tackles and 1 solo tackle. So, I mean, he did have the fumble recovery, but really, other than that, we saw Troy Reeder miss a couple of easy tackles, which we never seen. And a couple of them that he was going full force, they did a little juke move, and if he made contact with them, it would have been a fumble because we know how strong Troy Reeder really is. I mean, the 2 bright spots I would say from this defense would be Bilal Nichols and Nasir Adderley. Adderley with the amazing OBJ interception, one-handed going backwards, probably
absurd.
It was SportsCenter top 10. It was number one play. So Delaware,
if anything can eclipse that Jamie Jarman flip into the end zone, it was that interception. And in back-to-back weeks, Delaware gets number 2 top play and the number 1 top play.
But other than that, him and Bilal with 9 tackles, 5 solo tackles. But what was nice about Bilal Nichols seeing him play yesterday is even if he wasn't making the tackle, he drew 2 linemen. Right. And when you're only rushing 3 or 4, it's huge to have that one guy that can draw 2 or even 3 guys sometimes and still get around them. Bilal Nichols was in the backfield so much, making Ryan Stover run for his life. Because if you see big Bilal Nichols coming after you,
I'm running for my life. So overall, do you think this defense has taken a step back? Or do you still have the same expectations for this defense that you maybe had 2 or 3 weeks ago? Maybe after the William & Mary game where they hold them almost to nothing in that game. Has the defense from that point now to now taken a step back? Or is it this kind of same expectation for you?
I think it's the same expectation. I mean, I think that this team as a whole did not have the right mentality going into this game. I expect much more out of the offense. I expect much more out of the defense. both sides of the ball really not being themselves. And that's where it comes down to. Every sport, you're saying you want to play your style. We want to play Delaware football. And yesterday it was they were playing Towson football. They were stooping down to Towson's level because Towson is not as good of a team. Yeah. They're not as good of a team as Delaware. And for instance, Richmond destroyed them at United Stadium. And we beat Richmond. We should have beat this team easily. Mm-hmm. And this should have been a momentum starter if the Richmond game wasn't already a momentum starter. But this was one of those wins that Delaware should have had in their locker room this week. They had have five, need eight. Because eight's usually the magic number to get into the playoffs. And when you look at it, four games, okay, we need to win our games that we're supposed to win. Yesterday was a game that they were supposed to win, and now they have to fight back at it. I mean,
yeah,
because the CAA is so strong, seven wins could potentially get you in, but eight's that magic number, and now there's three games left, five wins. That equals eight.
Out of the four teams that Delaware had remaining after the Richmond game where they vaulted into the top 25 for the first time, I think it's safe to say this Towson game was their easiest opponent. Towson on the season has a minus 99 point differential. They're 3-5 overall, but if you take that point differential and grade it out to what their winning percentage should be, Towson is more like a 1-7 team. They've actually gotten a little bit lucky. Not to say that they don't deserve those wins, but to show that this is a Towson team that has very much struggled with injury and to begin with wasn't that talented of a team. Last year when Delaware was 4-7, Towson was one of their only good wins of the season. It was the team, perhaps one of only a few teams below Delaware in the CAA the last couple of years. Now as we take a look at the playoff picture, Delaware is 5-3 overall, 3-2 in the conference. That ties them with New Hampshire for fourth in the CAA standings. They're behind the undefeated James Madison Dukes. They're 8-0 and 5-0 in the conference. The Elon Phoenix, number 10 in the nation in the last top 25 poll. They're 7-1 and 5-0, riding a seven-game winning streak. And Stony Brook, who's now 6-2 and 5-1 in the conference after defeating Richmond last week 27-24 to maybe put a nail in the coffin of their season. So, Mike, win out. Probably safe to say Delaware is into the playoffs. They'd be 8-3 overall, and they would be 6-2 in the conference. Since the FCS playoffs moved to their current format in 2013, an 8-win CAA team has never been left out of the playoffs. Maybe they would be, but probably not. 17 wins. If they lose to Maine or Villanova, those are probably the most likely two of their three games left. They also play Albany at home. Can they make it in with 7 wins?
They would have to have a statement win. Right now, this Richmond win that they previously had doesn't not look like a statement win because of how Richmond's falling off the face of the earth right now. They need to do what they were supposed to do against Towson and blow them out, put this game out early and show people that they are the real deal. And next week, I think, is going to be one of the hardest games for them. It's not an easy trek up to Maine, and it'll be an interesting atmosphere because it's being played pretty much in a high school stadium. Usually Maine plays in Orno, Maine, but they play one game every year in Portland, Maine, about 3 hours apart. So you won't really have as much of the Maine faithful there. And the stadium only seats 5,000 people around.
Oh, gosh.
So it's literally a high school stadium that they're playing in. Last time Delaware played Maine was in 2013 when Maine was ranked 23rd in the country.
I mean, played at Maine?
Yes. Yeah. We lost that game 62-28. So this is a team that they know how to play. This Maine team, even if their record's not showing it, they always have a way to win, especially against a team that has to travel so far all the way up to Maine.
And Maine is not done. They have a chance. They have put together a little bit of a winning streak now. And at 4-3 overall and 3-3 in the conference, they are right in the equation with Delaware, with New Hampshire, with a Villanova to be that fourth team in the CAA. They have to beat Delaware at home. But if they beat Delaware, they get an easy matchup against UMass, an out-of-conference opponent, the next week. And then they get Stony Brook to finish the year, which is another tough game. But if they win out, then they're probably that fourth team. So this is an elimination game of sorts, I think. Delaware would have a chance if they lost to Maine and then won against Albany and Villanova. But if a New Hampshire wins out the rest of the way, then they're the fourth team because they would have 8 wins. And if Villanova wins out, let's say Delaware beats Maine but then loses to Villanova, and Villanova therefore wins out, they would probably pass Delaware. So the clearest path is to win all 3 of these games. You talked about how tough that Maine game is going to be next week. How about Albany at home? Albany was ranked at one point this season. They were ranked as high as 19th in the country, but now they've slipped a bit, and they are a team, I think, with just 1 CAA win, perhaps 2 now, but a team that has definitely underperformed their expectations.
Really quickly, I just want to say something about the Maine game. Yeah, this will be the first time this year, really, that Delaware is going to have to face the winter weather, because it is all the way in Maine. The high rate now for that game is only 51. Lows could be around freezing, and 10-mile-per-hour wind. So, first of all, that could play to Delaware's advantage because it's easier to run the ball than throw the ball in the cold. So, hopefully, that will play to Delaware's advantage.
But although Maine has a pretty good running back of their own, Josh Mack.
They have a phenomenal quarterback. Mack, I think, yesterday had 99 yards. He averages over 100 to lead the CAA. But this the Albany game following this Maine game is a huge game. And I think what's really going to give Delaware the confidence in that game is it's senior day. There's so many seniors there's a lot of seniors on this team that really have been working hard for 4 years. They've gone through a lot of challenges. They've gone through coaching changes. And they want to prove it in front of all the Delaware fans, because the last time they were at home, it was against the Richmond game. And really, every game this year, at some point of the game that they played at home, they've played well. Yes, you can say Delaware State, they did not play well in the first half. Cornell, Coach Rocco will probably say that he didn't like the first half, even though...
still put up 41 points,
exactly.
I think.
And then JMU held the number one team in the country to 20 points, and you scored 10 points yourself. And then William Mary shut them out. And then Richmond. This team loves playing at home. They love being in front of their crowd, and they love using their crowd to their advantage, which is one aspect that you need to do if you're a good football team. JMU, great football team, knows how to play in front of their home team and their home crowd. Last year, every single play, they were getting their crowd pumped up into this game when we were facing them, and it caused problems for Delaware. And that's what Delaware needs to do, especially during that Albany game.
I talked to Bilal Nichols toward the beginning of this season for a story for the Review, and he echoed what you were just saying, Mike, in that these seniors have been through a lot of change at Delaware, and they know that this is it. This is their last chance. This is their best chance to do something, to make the playoffs, to be a factor in the CAA, and that was their goal at the beginning of the season. I guess the good news is that despite this pretty terrible loss against Towson, they still have a chance to do that. So they have to beat Maine. They have to beat Albany. The next one on the schedule is away at Villanova, the Battle of the Blue, which hasn't meant a lot in the last couple of years because Delaware has never been close to Villanova, perhaps since their 2010 playoff run. But now it will mean something. Villanova is 4-4 overall in the season and 2-3 in the conference. They have a tough matchup this weekend against Richmond at home. If they lose that, they're probably done. But if they win, they have Rhode Island, who they'll probably take care of, and then they would need to beat Delaware for a chance in the playoffs. Delaware, like we just said, will probably have to beat them. So that could be a game where one team makes it into the playoffs and the other team doesn't. Their quarterback, Zach Bednarczyk, one of the best in the CAA, is out for the season, but it's a team that can really run the football and a team that wins with their defense. Right now, second in the CAA in scoring defense out of the Blue Hens matchup with the Wildcats.
This is a game where both teams' strengths are pretty much the same. I mean, you have a strong defense, you have a strong running game, and it'll be interesting to see that strong defense versus one of those running games. Delaware, they really haven't had someone too badly run over them this year because you have big Bilal Nichols up front. you have people that pass all over them, but that's because of injuries and whatnot.
Right. You have the linebackers too, Reader, but right, Kendall, you know, Bell when before he was hurt.
But it'll be interesting to see how a dominant running game like Villanova matches up against that defense. Villanova, and then Delaware, with a strong running game, Villanova's rush defense right now is number one in the CAA. They're giving up average 63 yards per game on the ground. I mean, that number, second in that category, is Stony Brook, and they're giving up 94 yards, almost 95.
Wow.
I mean, this is a Villanova team that anytime Delaware and Villanova play, you know it's the two rivalries are Villanova and Towson, pretty much. They lost one of those rivalry games. They need to win the second rivalry game, the other 95 rivalry, I guess you could say. And they need to make it a statement win. They need to prove to the voters that we didn't just get past them. We beat them solidly on their home field. And I think that's the best advantage that they have, that it is an away game so that they can prove we don't just beat teams at home.
And if Villanova beats Richmond this weekend, they'll probably be a top 25 team by the time you get to that season finale. So that would help Delaware's case, especially, let's say they lose to Maine but are trying to still make the case as a 7-win team, and they would probably want that Villanova win. Because coming into this game, Delaware's biggest argument was we lost to teams that were 13-1 combined heading into this week. Virginia Tech, who's number 13 in the FBS, and James Madison. That argument takes a huge hit when you lose to Towson, who's maybe one of the worst teams in the conference. So where do they make up for that? Where do they find that other signature win? And as you said, Mike, how about this Richmond team now? They're 4-4, 2-3 in the conference. That win doesn't look quite as good because they're really starting to struggle, losing to Stony Brook last weekend 27-24, and they have Villanova, James Madison, and William & Mary up on the schedule.
And this Delaware team, I've been saying, they need to have the one blowout win. We know that they're very capable of it because they're playing teams that are much worse than a Richmond team, and they put up points. I think something that they need to prove is that they can score again. There's really been, of the opponents that they faced, not really that many great defensive teams that they've played that they put up a lot of points. I guess the Richmond game would probably be the only one that stands out to me. And you could even make a case for the 10 points they put up against JMU just because of how solid that team is. But then you look at it, you have a 41-14 win against Cornell. Cornell is not good at all.
Right. They should have scored more points than 41.
They should have.
Yeah.
And Coach Rocco was very clear about it. He won 41 points by halftime.
Right.
So that's something. And then only putting up 17 against Towson, a banged up Towson defense, too. Mm-hmm.
3 points off of 3 takeaways. I mean, come on. You're plus 3 in the turnover margin, and you somehow find a way to lose the game.
That's a bad loss.
That's a terrible loss. So you got to do something to make up for it in these next 3.
It's completely inexcusable for Delaware. They need to find the ways, especially 4-for-13 on third downs. We talked about it because of the distance, but
right.
I mean, 4-for-13, they were 30.8% compared to Towson's almost 53%. And that goes for both teams, really. Both sides of the ball, really. You see the offense not converting on our third downs, but then the defense giving up huge third downs, too, on third and short. So from third and inches to third and 4, Towson was 5-of-6. And they averaged gaining 7.5 yards on third downs. Where have we ever seen that before?
They got them to third and longs time and time again, and they'd come up with just a little play just past the sticks, or the quarterback was running the ball a lot. And you mentioned that you didn't like the play of the Reader brothers. A couple times running through big linebackers like a Troy Reader to get the extra couple yards to fall forward for the first. It was definitely not the performance that you wanted. But my question now is, after that 18-17 loss against Towson, is the Delaware team as a whole, offense, defense, special teams, are they more like the team that played against Towson, or are they more like the team that played against Richmond.
They're more like the team that played like Richmond. I mean, this team did not show up at all. I mean, they should have just put, it looked like they put their backups in pretty much. This team had so much more potential. They had so many more opportunities and just doing this little things and making, and because of that, it was a problem. I mean, really, the good thing about Delaware in that game, I guess, if you can find one good thing, they weren't penalized too much. However, when they were penalized, it was a huge drive stopper. And they were only penalized four times for 25 yards, which you think, oh, that's fine. But that it stopped the momentum. It was usually after a big run, a big holding call against Delaware, or it was a stupid offsides. And then it gave Towson another opportunity. And you can't make those little mistakes. But you do like that there were only four penalties. But this Delaware team is much more like the game they played against Richmond than this Towson team. I mean, if they were the team that they played against Towson the whole year, it would be another season like we've seen in the past couple of years.
Three games left. Mike, can I get a little bit of a prediction? Where do you think the Blue Hens go from here? At Maine versus Albany and at Villanova.
I think this Maine game is going to be a tough game. It's a hard trip up there. It's different weather than what they've been playing with all year. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Delaware is going to come up with it because if they're not playing how Coach Rocco expects them, how he thinks Delaware football should be played, he'll call them soft again. He's not afraid to call these guys out, and they respond to that. And that's what I like about this team. I think Albany, however, is going to be their statement win. And then go to Nova, and it's going to be a very close game. I think that's going to come down to the final drive, if not overtime. I don't even know what could happen there because it depends, really, if our defense is on the field or our offense on the field. If your defense is on the field for Delaware, you're feeling confident. If your offense, you're feeling a little shaky.
The Blue Hens travel to Portland, Maine this weekend to face off against the Maine Black Bears in perhaps a must-win. Delaware at 5-3 on the season, 3-2 in the conference, Maine 4-3 on the year, and 3-3 in the conference. WVUD's coverage of Delaware at Maine begins at 1:45 p.m. on 91.3 WVUD.